Today on JSecure Live, Dr. Fauci, open up schools for in-person learning.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecure Live.
My approach is always, and I'll say it whether I'm in Connecticut or in any other place, is that the default position should be to try as best as you possibly can to open up the schools for in-person learning.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It's important for the children because of the psychological benefit, and in some places, even for the nutrition of children who rely on the breakfast and the lunches in school for proper nutrition.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So you're hearing from Dr. Fauci there, who has been one of the more careful, as he's been dealing with this pandemic and kind of taking the lead on how to respond as a country, as a nation to the pandemic, and he's been advising the president. I always like to remind people, too, you know, there's a super high approval rating for Dr. Fauci, and they give no credit to the president, President Trump, for putting Dr. Fauci in this position. Sometimes they disagree. That's the case when you're the president and you have advisors. But, I mean, he's there because of President Trump, and he is now, you know, we've got all these school cases, over 1,500 now. Families have contacted us. We did get the response from Arizona. We'll have more on that later, probably on tomorrow's show, as we prepare the next response back to Arizona. We're taking those actions, but just realize the significance, and Than, the significance that Dr. Fauci has said, we've got to get kids back to school. They need to be at the schools in that learning environment, and it's so critical to their development that even with COVID, it is worth that risk of not having school in person is much worse than just doing this virtual learning from home that hasn't been working for people.
Jordan, he's certainly correct that that has got to be the default, and I think he's also correct that it's got to be the default for multiple reasons. First of all, of course, the benefit for the children, both educational and psychological. Also, Jordan, we've got to get the economy back up and running again, and without schools reopening or finding a way to make this work, it's going to be difficult to do that. There's a domino effect with the economy, and so it's one of those pieces that has to come into place. And Jordan, I really think his comments dovetail really very nicely with what we have been pressing over the last couple of weeks. Look, there is an obligation on the part of school boards and localities to figure out creative ways to make this work. Those tax dollars have not stopped flowing from all different levels. You've got $68 billion from the federal level. You've got state taxes. You've got local taxes. Will school in all instances look like we're used to? Probably not, Jordan, but that does not mean that localities have no responsibility to figure out the best way to make it work for their localities. And Dr. Fauci's right, Jordan. I think that has to start with a default that schools are going to open. And if there's a specific reason that they need to tweak that for one reason or another, they can do it. But Jordan, it doesn't mean they don't offer an option. It means they find a better option if one has to happen.
You know, our website on ACLJ.org, if you go right to the website, you will see we've got a whole section for people who are looking for information on COVID-19 and schools, and it's right at ACLJ.org. So that'll be available for you. And of course, if you believe you need legal assistance because of your school's plan or lack of plan or what they're planning to do, we're still taking in hundreds, sometimes a day, of families who need assistance at no cost at aclj.org/help. And I will tell you, we'll have an update on that Arizona situation for you tomorrow. That was the first kind of action we took on behalf of a group of these families. And today, we've got a very special guest joining us. On his book launch day, Sean Hannity will be joining us for the entire second half hour of JSecure Live. You don't want to miss that. 30 minutes, basically, with Sean Hannity. His new book out today, Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. Order it. Have it delivered today. If you're able to and your bookstores are open, go and buy it. This is an important read, and Sean Hannity will be joining us for the full second half hour.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Reminder, second half hour, Sean Hannity, not just joining us for one segment, joins us for the entire half hour. Each of the three segments in that half hour, he'll be joining us. We'll be talking about, of course, we'll talk about his new book, Live Free or Die, but I know when Sean comes on, we'll be talking about a host of issues that you will want to listen to and get that dialogue. And it's unique to have Sean on as a guest rather than a host. So with asking questions and things like that to get his perspective more rather than him kind of asking others. So I think, again, I encourage you, share this. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share now with your friends and family. I mean, right now with your friends and family, because, I mean, we've got Sean Hannity coming up for the full second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live today. Now, we can take your phone calls right now, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about the fact that Dr. Fauci has said we need to reopen the schools? You know, he's hitting on all the points that we've been hitting on with our legal action that we've been assisting parents on or potentially assisting parents on since I was on Steve Hilton's Fox News show. And we've have 47 different states plus D.C. where our attorneys are working in. First action we took was in Arizona. They did respond, by the way. In Gilbert, Arizona, we will be responding to their response. I'll have more for you probably on that tomorrow, on that broadcast. Of course, we'll continue to take more action in different states. But he's saying exactly what we're saying, which is that, you know, there's critical needs here. That it's not just the education part. That's, of course, very important, the most important. But the food. The ability for the economy, as Stan said, to get back on track so people can go back to work. And the fact that the infection rate, and you're talking to the top expert on this issue that has the highest approval rating of anybody in the country, is saying it's so low, there's no excuse, states. There is no excuse, teachers unions, not to let children go back to school. To hear it from Dr. Fauci is not to hear it from some conspiracy theorist. This is Dr. Fauci, Bite 5.
If the infection rate is so low that there's very little chance of there being infection spread, then you should feel okay about doing it, but making sure that you do the things that are necessary to prevent spread.
You know, again, reopen the schools. And Than, I want to take people's calls on this 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are seeing across the country the opposite in a lot of states. Schools that said they were going to delay a couple weeks are now delaying two more weeks. So for Dr. Fauci to get out there and say, put your plan together, you know, if you got to delay a couple weeks and maybe add a couple weeks here and there or take less holidays, something like that, but fight the teachers' unions who are doing demands like, you know, Medicaid for all, things like that as part of their going back to school plan, which is not even related. But do get these children back to school. If their parents feel comfortable sending them, I say have a virtual option, because if you've got an at-risk parent, and that may be the best option for you. So schools need to think smart. That's easy to do, because that's mostly what they were planning on doing anyways. But I hope that along with our work and with what Dr. Fauci has said, these schools realize they've got to take a different approach than what they thought, which is that they were going to basically have everybody doing this from home and not take into account the food, not take into account the child care cost and the economic cost to doing a program like that, and the fact that the infection rate among children is so low that it totally, the risk-reward benefit here isn't even in question.
Yeah, the thing that has frustrated me through this whole process, Jordan, it seems like so many of these school boards, or even on the state level at times, have been focused on telling parents of students what they will not do, what they can't do. When, Jordan, we've said this time and time again, but it's so important that they hear this. They have an affirmative obligation to tell parents of students what they will do, how they will provide the education that the tax dollars that have paid in have been promised to those students. So will it have to look different in localities? Will they have to get creative? Will there need to be a virtual option, like you said? In many cases, I think the answer will be yes, Jordan, but they have the obligation to put forward what those options are, not simply to say, we're just not going to take their students. And by the way, and I think it's important for people to hear this, you know, Jordan, we're not often ones to talk about dollars coming from the federal government as a big part of the solution, especially when it comes to an issue like education. But we have consistently said that we do think the federal government needs to help localities in this. If they're going to send $105 billion to states and local governments in order to help open schools, it shouldn't go directly to schools who aren't even going to reopen. Jordan, we support the Senator Scott legislation that would give flexibility to states that say, you know what, we're not quite ready to open full capacity. We need to give parents some options. We think there should be flexibility in those dollars. So again, I will just tell you, politically speaking in Washington, D.C., and Jordan, you're going to read the tea leaves here, you're going to know what I'm saying. It seems like too many just don't want to make any progress over the next 3 months because they think it will benefit them at the ballot box. The American people of all stripes, Jordan, have to reject that. For our students and for our economy, we have to start making progress. We can't just look at the political benefits or drawbacks coming up in November. We have to make progress for the American people.
You know, again, folks, I don't want to get... I'm not going after teachers when I say this, by the way. It's teachers' unions. But there's an article in the Washington Times that says that teachers' unions are holding anti-reopening rallies. So they're actually rallying together and coming together. So I thought they're so scared about COVID. But they're having rallies against reopening schools, and they threaten to strike. Okay? This is why I say, you put kids first, teachers second. Kids first, teachers second. There's a lot of great public school teachers out there, don't get me wrong, that probably hate the fact that their union is doing things like this. But it is. How gross is it that they are going to protest reopening your kids' schools? Think about that for a minute. I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Ready to go? Yeah, let's go to Tim in Tennessee online. One, he's got an interesting question. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. All right, so here's the scenario. I live in a county that has less than half of 1% of the county has been infected by the virus. So we're talking minuscule numbers, and death into single digits, and we are trying to reopen the schools, and we have a a mayor that wants to reopen the schools, but we're being now bombarded by the legislature to say, no, you can't reopen the schools on your own. You can't go do what you want to do. Is there a way that we could actually fight the governor and fight the legislature to basically say, it's our county and we don't have the problems you're having in the major cities. Let our kids go back to school.
I'll be honest with you. I live in Tennessee. My daughter's school is planning on going back. I don't know if this is some – are they saying, Tim, that it's your – the governor's office is saying it's because of what's happening in your specific county? Are you sure it's the governor's office?
The mayor is the basically mayor. Saying it's coming down from
– Okay, okay. Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right there. It's your mayor. Because I have not heard Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee – announce anything about certain counties having to not open their schools. In fact, Tennessee has been one that has been, tried to stay on track as best as possible. Now, could things change between now and when school starts? Yes. Have things had to be delayed a couple weeks? Yes. But I think your issue is likely with the mayor, Tim. And what I want you to do is if you've got students in the public schools and you're concerned about this, I want you to go to aclj.org/help, fill out that form, let them know you talked to Jordan Seculo on Jay Seculo Live today on August 4th and that about the issue and that you're trying to figure out, is it the county, is it the mayor, or is it the governor, so that we can look into that for you and get you the right answer, but also see if the mayor really even has that kind of power to do so. So we need more information because, Tim, I have not yet seen an order yet come down from the governor of Tennessee. Could one come down? Sure. But not at this point. We're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. One thing I want to throw out there, too, as well. You know what the left is starting to throw out in their op-eds, like in the New York Times, Washington Post? No debates. Joe Biden, you know, the guy will be 78 if he became president. Sworn in January. We should have debates. Now, you can't be 6 feet apart and have a debate. More time than ever, I think we need debates because we're seeing these candidates less on the campaign trail, less interaction with voters. But they don't want him debating President Trump. We may get into more of that tomorrow. I may talk about it a little with Hannity as well. Remember, Sean Hannity is joining us for the second half hour, the entire second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. So share this broadcast with your friends and family now. Check out aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Just to kind of follow up on the last caller, we looked it up, and Governor Bill Lee has outlined already his recommendations for Tennessee school districts on how to return to school in person, which includes guidance on in-person learning, when there needs to be quarantines and how long those should be, like if someone does come down with COVID in the classroom and if they didn't know it before they went to school, or you know, how should that work, teacher safety, and more. So this has been outlined by Governor Lee very extensively, and it is not about shutting down any counties. So the issue that caller had, the mayor may be trying to blame it on the governor because they don't want to take responsibility for it, but it's the mayor that's trying to make this decision. So I hope he contacts us so we can assist there as well. You got teachers unions holding anti-reopening strikes. We are assisting right now. It looks like about 1,000 were already directly have got assigned to attorneys. The other 500 or so right now, that number keeps growing, and then more get assigned to attorneys. We're either just came in, so we're sorting through which issue within this issue they have concerns about, or we need a little bit more information before we can make that call to get it to the right attorney. So, I mean, everybody, you know, we're reaching out to people, we're getting it to people, and we're taking action now as well. So in Arizona, we've taken action. That happened on Friday. On Saturday, we added another client. We've got another one upcoming, it looks like, in Arizona. And we got a response from the Gilbert School District out in Arizona. We'll talk about how we're going to respond probably on tomorrow's broadcast. We'll spend some time on that because we got Sean Hannity coming up for the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. I want to go to Paula in Indiana on line two. Paula, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know I'm an educator here in Indiana who's looking forward to being back in the classroom, and I'm really disappointed in the educators in Indiana through Indiana Teachers United, which is the former Red for Ed Facebook page, that are really making it difficult for those of us who want to go back in to the classroom. And it's very frustrating for parents and teachers who have worked very diligently to provide a safe environment for their students to be challenged by groups such as Indiana Teachers United, who do not support us going back into the classroom. But I want parents to know that we are educators that are out there who do want to be back in the classroom. We want to see our students. I'm looking forward to that next week. And I would just encourage parents to advocate for their children.
Thank you for calling, because you're one of those good teachers out there who you want to go back, you want to do your job, you want to make it safe, but you understand the importance of being there for the students as a teacher, they're learning, but also as the importance of the family and how it impacts the entire economy. And Than, it's why you've got to make that distinction. When we talk teachers unions, I'm not attacking most teachers out there. They're great. They work for a lot of times at pretty low salaries and work really hard to help in sometimes really tough environments with overloaded classrooms in public schools and lack. They buy their own resources a lot of time out of their own pocket. But the teachers unions, they are the problem. I mean, they're organizing anti-reopening protests, Than. And then can you give us an update, too, on the stimulus? Because people are concerned. They keep hearing that maybe that's not, you know, that there's a lot of problems on that. I want to make sure people know about that as well.
Yeah, and I actually think the two issues go together, Jordan, so I'm glad you kind of ask about that, because I think just like the caller, you will find a lot, I would say even a majority of teachers who individually would want to go back into the classroom, but when you talk about the teachers union, all too often it becomes about partisan politics. It starts to become about what a particular move will mean at the ballot box come November, and in the case of the teacher union and the hard left leanings that they have, Jordan, I think in many cases they think if schools stay closed, it would be better for Vice President Biden. I really do think it's as simple as that. And then if you look at the stimulus issue, Jordan, I'll just give you one narrow glimpse into the negotiations that are happening right now. I still believe a stimulus package is coming down the pike and will be approved in the next couple of weeks. But Jordan, the two sides are fairly far apart on the stimulus bill right now. And so there was a move just this week in the United States Senate to give the Democrats everything they wanted on the piece that had expired. It was the unemployment insurance benefit and the federal provision of $600 on top of the state assistance that is provided. The Senate Republicans offered to give Democrats the exact level that they wanted for a one-week extension so that that unemployment insurance could continue while the broader negotiations continued. Jordan, they rejected that. Now, why would you reject that if you got everything you wanted inside the proposal? And the answer is the same as it is for teachers' unions. They think that there will be a partisan political benefit if things continue to deteriorate. So the American people just need to pay attention to this, Jordan. Are the teacher union for the students? And are the Senate Democrats in this case, or those who are asked saying that they want a bigger federal unemployment insurance extension? Do their actions back up their words? In both cases this week, Jordan, they did not.
Folks, this is something, again, we're working on. We're going to have updates for you tomorrow. We're going to keep updating you on stimulus. We're going to keep getting into politics. We're going to keep getting into the school issue. Of course, we got Sean Hannity. We'll be talking about a lot of these issues for the entire second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live coming up. So you don't want to miss that. Let me take the final call of the first half hour. Ray in Georgia on line four. Ray, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jordan, and thank you for the great work you do. Hey, I'm all for getting the kids back to school. That is a must. But we also must emphasize what the good doctor says. They must wear masks. The teachers and the kids need to wear masks because it's clear that that's the best way to prevent the spread of infection.
Listen, I think parents out there, I mean, I know it's tougher with younger kids keeping the mask on and stuff like that. They got to figure that out. Parents out there are over that issue. I think if they could start school, everybody would be okay with that. You know, that no one's going to have an issue. And if you do, that might, unless you've got a medical reason for real with the mask, which means you might not, maybe you shouldn't be in the classroom yet because of the lack of, there's not a vaccine, there's not, you know, this is still spreading, that kind of thing. So you've got to, but I think the mask issue people are over. They understand if that's what it takes to reopen our nation's public schools, everybody's going to sign on with that. Will the teachers' unions, that's the question, who control so many of the school districts and the superintendents and the elected officials on the school board with campaign dollars? Because I think you're right. Everybody should do that. I think if everybody wear a mask, we'd be reopened. I think parents would be rushing to buy as many masks as they needed to make sure their kids got the education they needed and that they could get back to kind of normal life as best possible, back working again. Now, tomorrow as well, I want to encourage you to listen, because Sally Yates, former acting attorney general, really most of her time was deputy attorney general, testifying under oath before Senator Lindsey Graham's Senate Judiciary Committee. That's at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So we'll be able to have live coverage of that. It's about Crossfire Hurricane. So she's going to be testifying under oath publicly. So you'll want to check that out as well. And remember, coming up, the next half hour of Jay Sekulow Live, Sean Hannity is going to be joining us for the entire second half hour. He's talking about his new book. Came out today, Live Free or Die. That's why I've got it in my hands, America and the World on the Brink. And go to ACLJ.org. My wife, Anna, has a great new post up about Christian persecution in India at the hands of Hindus. Something we think about often, Christian persecution is Islam or communist and dictatorships. But there's a rise in Christian persecution in India by radical Hindus. Now, Sean Hannity coming up next, full half hour.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Freedom.
Jay Secchio Live. It is great to be joined on a very important day by my good friend Sean Hannity, whose new book, Live Free or Die, if you pre-ordered it like me, you could be holding it in your hand right now. And I know in a lot of you, a lot of places, if you order it right now, places like Amazon Prime and stuff like that, they'll deliver it to your door, you know, within an hour or two if you don't already have it. Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. Sean, it's great to have you on the broadcast.
Hey, Jordan. Well, first, I'm a fan. Secondly, I loved your book. Thirdly, your dad is my attorney, and so I'm very close to the Secchio family. Yes. And have been for years. I love the work of the ACLJ. You guys have been transformative. I don't know the exact number of times your father argued before the Supreme Court. I think it's 21. I might be off, and I think he won 19 of the 21 cases.
Yeah, I think it's like, depending on how you count with these, it's like somewhere of the actual oral arguments, and that's when you're not just sometimes you're a party and you win, but you didn't have to do an oral argument. Oral arguments, he's done a 13 because he did one for president on behalf of President Trump representing him, and then depending on how that case was kind of a split, it's like 2.5 losses, all the rest were wins, and some of those wins were the wins that we're even fighting right now, Sean, with all the restrictions on places of worship and things like that. But you know what I think is very cool about your book, now that I have a chance to go through it, is one, I know you don't write a lot of books, but two, this is very current. I mean, in the final chapter of the book, you and I've gone through this process, you get into the coronavirus and the response by President Trump and what this has been like. So, I mean, this takes people through a whole host of issues, but it's that current.
I know from writing your own books that it's a process. I actually thought of it a year ago. The working title was always Live Free or America Dies, and I battled back and forth with the title, and I decided to just put in Latin at the very bottom, Live Free or America Dies, after the main title, Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. But it was actually originally scheduled for release before the 4th of July. And, you know, talk to the publisher. We all agreed that this is, you know what, we need to keep this book current. You have to have a lead time. And I got in as much as I could possibly get in. I wanted to make sure that we had a very good feel who the Democratic nominee would be, what the Democratic agenda is. And on the coronavirus response, you know, the amazing thing to me, Jordan, is that if you look at, okay, let's look at the president's response, because the first identified case of corona was January 21st, if people can believe it, this year. The travel ban he put in place was January 31st, 10 days later. I actually first had Fauci on about corona on January 27th. I had him back on the air February 10th. While the New York Times was suggesting travel bans don't work, and who says it's not safe to travel anyway? So the president then had his subsequent travel bans. Then he had a quarantine the first, 50, 60 years? Where were the Democrats? Well, Joe Biden was calling his travel ban hysterical xenophobia and fear-mongering. The Democrats were in the middle of impeaching the president. He saw the danger more than ahead of everybody else. Nobody actually agreed that it was time or that we needed a travel ban, but he did it anyway. It turned out that one decision there, it's incalculable how many Americans did not contract this virus and die because Donald Trump moved that quickly. And things would have been dramatically worse had he not acted so quickly. So those are the first decisions. Now, we also have to remember, too, that, you know, look, I know people have a right to be angry and upset. I'm angry and upset. But we've got to remember China lied to the world. They hid this from the world. Rather than bringing in, you know, the rest of the world and America's health experts and medical professionals, we would have been able to contain this thing likely there early if we were brought in early.
Folks, we'll be right back with Sean Hannity talking about his brand new book out today, Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. Go get your copy today or order it online.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are talking to our very special guest today on a very special day for him. The launch of his brand new book came out today. Sean Hannity's Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. And Sean continues to join us on the broadcast to discuss why he wrote this brand new book.
We've got to remember, China lied to the world. They hid this from the world. Rather than bringing in, you know, the rest of the world and America's health experts and medical professionals, we would have been able to contain this thing likely there early if we were brought in early. But they decided to shut down travel from Wuhan province to the rest of China, and you couldn't travel from the rest of China to Wuhan, but they allowed travel from Wuhan to anywhere else in the world. And with it, the virus then went worldwide, and now we have the worst pandemic since 1918. So, you know, we have all, then if you go through the process, the timeline, et cetera, you know, how is it possible that all of these medical professionals and doctors and researchers and those that project models, they were at one point saying 2.5 million dead Americans, and then they went as low as only 60,000, and then it's 80,000. We're at 150,000 now. But the, you know, so they got a lot wrong. I mean, I really do respect Dr. Fauci. These are not words. This guy's dedicated his life to saving other people's lives. But remember, we were all lied to. He got a lot of key things wrong at very crucial times. The one thing that the president got right was he recognized early that this could be bad. Let's take the precautions necessary. The next thing that the president did was it was the fastest, biggest, largest medical mobilization in history. Now, I was at the epicenter of this, Jordan, and I can tell you, I remember a Saturday afternoon, I just went out on my deck to get some fresh air and pull my head off my phone for a minute. And I'm thinking, in the last 36 hours, we have 18,000 confirmed cases in Long Island alone. And I'm talking to friends of mine that work in local hospitals, and they are telling me this has become a total, and by the way, I dedicate this word to Adam Schiff, the congenital liar, a total shit show.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
You know, and they were overwhelmed. They were in trouble. It was hitting a crisis point. Now, in early March, you had the mayor of New York telling people, here are my recommendations where you need to go out on the town for March, you know, 3rd through 6th or whatever the date was. And Andrew Cuomo arrogantly saying, I know I speak for the mayor of New York, and, you know, we're New Yorkers, and we have the best medical system in the world. He was saying that in March.
Yeah.
Then he's screaming, by the end of the month, I need 40,000 ventilators.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump was able to mobilize what ultimately now we can see in the rearview mirror, what became the fastest, largest medical mobilization in the history of mankind. And he built the hospitals. He manned the hospitals. He provided the masks, the gowns, the shields, the gloves, the therapeutics, the medicines, and even converted the hospitals to COVID-19 capability. Most of those hospital beds that the president built remained empty.
I remember seeing those images, Sean, of the Javits Center. I mean, it was like, you know, right. the military comes in and they build an entire hospital for COVID, and it was barely used at all.
1,000 of 3,000 beds used, only 200 of the beds in the 1,000-bed Navy ship Comfort, again, converted to COVID, manned by the president, you know, providing all the PPE. It was close on ventilators, but guess what? We never ran out of any ventilators. We always had enough masks. We always had enough gloves, barely. We were, you know, just keeping up. You know, these things have been depleted by Obama and Biden, and they never replenished it. And, you know, you get all these Monday morning quarterbacks, but we were able to do it. And then we find out now in retrospect that the one thing that did remain certain, like we're a little surprised when we saw these hot spots, and we see now, I think, what is the beginning of the flattening of the curve in the Sun Belt, meaning Florida and Texas and Arizona. But what the president was able to do is, you know, very quickly identify the needs and send everything in. But the one thing that remained constant was older people with underlying conditions, health conditions, and compromised immune systems were the most vulnerable. Okay, so Ron DeSantis in Florida, I mean, he's getting criticized because I always said it was when, not a matter of if, we would have hot spots and we'd have resurgence. Anyway, so he protected the elderly population in Florida. If you look at the total death toll of Florida, if you look separately at the total death toll of Texas, and then you look at the worst one day in New York, well, the number in Florida and the number in Texas are still lower than the one worst day in New York, because we learned later on March 28th, the dopey governor, you know, issues an executive order mandating that nursing homes and long-term care facilities take in COVID-positive patients. And then it was followed by the New Jersey governor just a few days later. Then it was followed by the Pennsylvania governor. And then you had the absolutely ridiculous Governor Whitmer. These governors did a horrible job. The governor of Florida did do a good job. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have a resurgence, a hot spot. But at least we went in and we protected the most vulnerable population. And if you look at the, nearly 33,000 deaths in New York, well, Florida's at 6,000, and the same with Texas. And they had it as bad with the second wave as New York had it with the first wave. The only other difference, too, is younger people are getting it. So, and the idea that you can shut down the economy and expect anything but economic disaster is, you know, imagine if the economy fully shut down, Jordan. Yep. Let me tell you what would have happened in New York. If the farmers stopped farming, if the packers stopped packing the trucks, the truckers stopped trucking, guess what? New York would have starved to death.
Yep.
The medicines, the PPE, the masks, the gloves, the gowns, the shields, we wouldn't have had any of it. And that's where I became an advocate of masks, because every week I'd go into my local grocery store, my local drug store, and everybody was in a mask, and I talked to everybody as I always do. I can't shut up. And I got to know there wasn't a single person at my grocery store that ever got COVID-19.
Yeah.
The same with my pharmacy. And this was right in the epicenter of this. So anecdotally, I said, okay, the masks are working. And that's where I became an advocate of it. But remember this, too. Now, the president added to this simultaneously Operation Warp Speed. We're now in the final trials, final stage trials, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Pfizer. You know, we're now bringing back production with Kodak, this big announcement that took place this week, in terms of the agents for the medicines that we had outsourced over the years to China. We can't allow ourselves to be dependent on another country on an issue such as health. So that's now changed. And overall, everything the president done, nobody was perfect because the medical information was mixed. It was confused. It was conflicting. You had, you know, hydroxychloroquine is a great example because the president, you know, I had this Dr. Daniel Wallace early April 6th, wrote a letter. This man has been at the premier, most knowledgeable expert on hydroxychloroquine. And he's been literally as the largest lupus practice in the country. And he wrote the textbook on lupus, and they use hydroxychloroquine, 400 peer-reviewed articles, also rheumatoid arthritis, and he's written extensively on anti-malarials. And he said in his 42 years of dispensing the 65-year-old drug hydroxychloroquine, he's never had a single complication that resulted in a hospitalization. And then he went further and said the risk of using hydroxychloroquine is nil, unless you might get a rash or something minor like that. And yet the world was told that by our media and by Democrats politicizing, you know, even a pandemic, that it was going to kill you. Well, now we have two more studies, the Ford study, the New York study, that said it actually, used early, played a very big role in keeping people alive.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the one article cited by the media, well, they had to retract that.
Yeah,
the one that said it was dangerous.
And we were told not to wear a mask at first. We were shamed wearing masks because, hey, if you wear a mask, you're taking away from the front line. Then it was like, you must wear a mask, and that became kind of political. And now we've kind of gotten back to the point where people realize, yeah, we probably should be wearing masks, especially inside places where we can't socially distance, regardless if you're in a hot spot or not right now, because a hot spot can pop up pretty quickly. Let me ask you, Sean, about this too. I think the importance of books, like if people are receiving this today on launch day, Sean Hannity's brand new book, Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. And I think what's important about books is that even people, they watch your show, you know, every day, they listen to you on radio, they listen to broadcasts like ours, they stay up to speed. But oftentimes, I mean, we've been inundated these last 4, 5, 6 years with information that ties together. And it's tough just to keep it all in your head and by just watching or listening. And I think books like this, what they do is they tie it all together for people as kind of reminders of all of this and how it interacts together. Folks, we'll be right back with Sean Hannity talking about his brand new book out today, Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. Go get your copy today or order it online. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are talking to our very special guest today on a very special day for him. The launch of his brand new book came out today. Sean Hannity's Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. And Sean continues to join us on the broadcast to discuss why he wrote this brand new book.
Look, I'm on the radio 3 hours a day. I'm on television 1 hour a night. And I realized, and I even realize now, that I can't spend 4 hours a day every day and go over the depth and content that I'm able to bring to the book. And I saw this coming over a year ago. I knew this would become and was becoming the biggest choice election in history. This is it. And I didn't even know how right I would be in this sense, that we're now, you've got this ghost of a candidate hiding in his basement bunker. He can barely even get a podcast on the air, fumbling what state he's in, what day it is, what office he's running for. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created, are endowed by their, Jordan, the thing would be God, the creator of everything.
Right.
And, but look at what he's done. He's done something. I think it's a sign of weakness. Joe Biden now has adopted his economic czar, Bolshevik Bernie. He's plagiarized his exact words as his own economic plan. He's now pledging trillions of dollars. His new Green Deal czar is Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. His gun czar is Beto Bozo Rourke, who wants gun confiscation. And then he's got Pelosi and Schumer and himself with 125 years of swamp experience, and they haven't come near anything. They don't have anything that would nearly match the success of Donald Trump and what he's been able to do in less than 4 years. And I ask all of your wide audience, as you're on coast to coast, to answer the question in their own minds, can you identify one single thing that Joe Biden is known for that you would say has been successful and that has made this country a better country? Now, if you're going to run as the most radical socialist on the planet, what have you done that proves that socialism works? Because right now, if you want to know what Joe Biden's America will look like based on his comments about police have become the enemy, or Obama's comments that he made last week, which are, oh, there are police or federal troops that are tear gassing and using batons on peaceful protesters, which is a lie. And then going on to, you know, every 2 years and 4 years, the race card is played. Let's divide the country along racial lines. Let's divide rich versus poor, old versus young. And we saw that when he was given the eulogy to John Lewis, which was disgraceful and full of lies. And so now you have this stated agenda, and I'm saying to people, you better wake up, because this is a live or die moment. This is America literally on the brink, the world with it, because so goes America, so goes the rest of the world. And if their policies as stated are ever implemented, then the greatest country God gave man, and I mean that, with that relies on liberty and freedom and a belief that rights come from God and not from man and not from governments, and that, you know, we're endowed by that creator, you know, with inalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. You can't pursue happiness in liberal cities like New York, Chicago, Portland, L.A., and Seattle if you don't have basic safety and security.
Yep.
You know, in all of those cities, what do they have in common? They've been run by liberal Democratic mayors for decades. You know, all of those cities share another thing in common, is that their educational systems are the worst in the world. Well, if you want to climb the ladder of success to pursue happiness, well, they failed miserably on that front as well. And then if you look at, well, what has government done well? Well, how did Obamacare do? Millions lost their doctors, millions lost their plans, and all of us are paying on average 200% more in spite of the other promise. And the last time I checked, the other big government programs that promise everything, Social Security is headed for bankruptcy and Medicare is headed for bankruptcy. So if the new Green Deal and the socialism that they're saying they will implement is implemented, and I have a whole chapter in the book, yep. Socialism, A History of Failure, America will become unrecognizable. It is as clear as anything you could ever do. What they're saying they will do will destroy the country that has advanced the human condition more than any other governmental system ever designed by man and given to us the liberties from God, God-given rights, divine rights versus just state-given rights. And that's it. I mean, it yeah. comes down to energy independence or eliminating the lifeblood of our economy, amnesty versus border security, the United Sanctuary States of America or law and order. It comes to law and order and safety and security in cities, or you don't have it. You have anarchists running wild and being supported by politicians. Then you have the Supreme Court, which they like to stack the court. Then you have the issue of raising taxes through the roof, which Biden is running on, versus lower taxes, limited bureaucracy, energy independence, all these things. And then I'm not even talking about foreign policy. There's never been a greater friend to the state of Israel or religious freedom
absolutely.
Than Donald J. Trump.
No, that's absolutely true. And Sean, I mean, I just, because I had to step in because we're running out of time, and I want to make sure that everybody out there who didn't pre-order the book, and today they need to either, if they're able to, if they go to their, and their bookstores are open, they can go, it's wherever books are sold, or a lot of times you can get the deliveries same day through places like Amazon and Amazon Now, and you can go to SeanHannityBook.com, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, all those different places. The book is Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. And I think, Sean, everybody just heard from you why when they get their book today, and I know a lot of them pre-ordered it or they're getting it delivered today or going out to buy it today, you just told them why they need to spend this week getting through this book because of how important this upcoming election is, and they need the info inside this, like we talked about, to remind them about what the country has gone through and what the president has done for them.
We need the America. If there's nothing else you do, please vote. If you can do more. This information, this book gives you what is at stake so that there is a deep understanding of the real clear present danger to the America that is based on God-given rights, liberty, freedom, capitalism, American risk, reward, innovation, and genius. And we've saved the world from fascism, communism, Nazism, Imperial Japan, more recently radical Islamism, and we've also advanced the human condition with this system of governance. Not perfect, but we can become more perfect. We should be striving every day for such. But I'll tell you, it's all on the line. And this is at stake in 3 months.
Get the book, folks. Sean, it's always great to have you on the program. I know you're busy with the book launch today.
Your family, and I keep hearing your family's growing like every other week.
Yeah, you know, I've got he's now 10 months old, so he's, and then a 4-year-old daughter. So all of these issues, certainly they impact me more and more. I just want to say, Sean, it is great to have you on launch day. And let me encourage everybody to go out and get your book, Live Free or Die. Sean doesn't write a lot of books. He's not somebody who puts out a book every 6 months. So you know this was important to him.
Love you and your family, the ACLJ. And by the way, I hope your kids don't give you the hard time you gave your dad. Just saying.
They probably will. I deserve it, Sean. All right, we'll talk to you soon, Sean. Get the book, Live Free or Die by Sean Hannity. It's out today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.